When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
True crime, unsolved cases, strange disappearances. Join me as we travel through the timeline of some of the darkest acts in human history. I'm your host, Kevin Eustace, and welcome to the third season of The Deadly Countdown. Welcome back to The Deadly Countdown, Season 3, Episode 6. Dennis Nielsen, London's nefarious serial killer.
We are continuing the search of the rear garden, as I've already told you over the past few days. But this morning we're also, in addition, dealing with the what I call the waste ground at the back of these premises you'll see behind me. Officers from the cadet school have started a careful search of the undergrowth, and I think it's right to say that we have found a significant amount of human bones. Apart from that, we've also found a large quantity of personal clothing, and the difficulties with that, of course, is that there may well be a situation where local people are throwing their rubbish on this common ground, which will add to the complications. Since I last spoke to you, we have found in the rear garden, as opposed to the common ground, various other bones and also a part of a jaw with teeth attached to it.
Is it possible to say whether it's a male or female jaw?
I can't tell you.
What you've just listened to was one of the detectives investigating the case of Dennis Nielsen. A rather mundane-looking but absolutely horrific serial killer that stalked London throughout the late 70s and early 80s. The detective you've just listened to was providing the reporter with an update on their finds in the back garden of where Dennis Nielsen lived. And today we take a disturbing dive into the life, crimes and trial of Dennis Nielsen. We see his modus operandi. We learn how he would lure his victims, and, most terrifyingly, what he would then do to them. But before we take our look at one of the most disturbing crimes London, if not England, has ever seen, we need to give a quick shout out to our wonderful team over at Patreon. When you sign up to Patreon, not only will you receive these episodes, both ad-free and before anyone else, but you can also receive exclusive access to our Patreon-only podcast, Cold Case, a show only for Patreons where we take a look at some of the most famous and infamous cases of murder, mystery, and crime that have remained unsolved throughout history. We're building a wonderful community of like-minded true crime enthusiasts over at Patreon, and we'd love to extend an exclusive invitation just for you. Simply head over to patreon.com/thedeadlycountdown. Just like the following wonderful new team members have. Maddie McGee, Lindsay S., Rebecca, Arnie H., Brenda, James Everett, and Dionysus. Thank you so much for the support, guys. It genuinely means the world. So if you enjoy early ad-free releases and, of course, wish to gain access to that Cold Case podcast and its back catalogue, head over to patreon.com/thedeadlycountdown. But right now, let's take a trip back a few decades so we can witness what would seem to be an unassuming man going about his day-to-day work. Little did anybody know exactly what was going on behind those eyes. For Dennis Nielsen, let's start the clock. So, where do you begin with a chilling saga like that of Dennis Andrew Nielsen, one of Britain's most notorious serial killers? Between 1978 and 1983, Nielsen committed a series of murders that shocked the nation. He targeted young men and boys around London. His modus operandi was gruesome and his demeanour chillingly calm, which only added layers to his dark profile. Nielsen was even a former police officer and a current civil servant, and he used his understated demeanour to lure his victims to their death, leading to a case that would haunt the annals of British criminal history. Born on November the 23rd, 1945, in Fraserburgh, Scotland, Dennis Nielsen's life started uneventfully. However, the seemingly mundane details of his early life would later be scrutinised for clues to understand the man he became. Today, we'll unpack Nielsen's background, the specifics of his crimes, and eventually unravel the world of his deceit and murders. I mean, it's fascinating, and by fascinating I mean terrifying, how such an ordinary appearing man can hide such dark secrets. We walk past these type of people every day on the street, and you never know who you just brushed shoulders with. Are they a serial killer? It's the stuff of nightmares. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, we've got a story to unfold. And it starts in a small town in Scotland. So let's trace the steps of a man who turned from an unnoticed civil servant to one of the most infamous figures in criminal history. If we dive deeper into the early chapters of Nielsen's life, we'll find a story shaped by isolation and an introspective nature. He was born into a working-class family in a small fishing town of Fraserburgh, Scotland. He was the second of three children, and his father was a Norwegian soldier who had a fleeting relationship with his mother and left the family early on. Therefore, Nielsen was raised primarily by his mother and grandfather, with whom Nielsen formed a particularly strong bond. Tragedy would strike for the early Nielsen when his beloved grandfather passed away. He was only 5 years old. But remember, his grandfather was more like a father, and this event profoundly affected him, marking a pivotal moment in his emotional development. Nielsen's mother would remarry, and while she built a new life for herself, young Dennis felt sidelined, exacerbating his feelings of isolation. Nielsen's academic journey was marked by average performance, and he was known for his quiet demeanour, his introspective nature, often choosing to stay by himself. When he left school, he joined the British Army at age 16, and served as a cook in various locations, including Aden, Yemen, and Cyprus. His time in the army provided structure and an escape from his emotional struggles at home, But it was also during this time that Nielsen's darker impulses began to manifest in private. Now, let's take a pause and have a think about this. It's almost cliché. The quiet ones, the introspective ones. Aren't these the ones that always hide tumultuous storms? Well, Nielsen's life was no exception. Losing a parental figure at such a young age, and feeling like an outsider in his own family, well, it can push anyone off the edge. But most people don't end up taking the path Nielsen did. So I guess the question that we need to be asking is, how much does our childhood shape who we end up being? How much is down to the choices we make? It's a heavy question, and one worth pondering as we look into how a boy, who was once cooking meals for soldiers, changed into a man cooking up nightmarish scenarios in his London flat. In the late 1970s and early 1980s, London was the unwitting backdrop for the grim and ruthless actions of Dennis Nielsen. He embarked on a spree of murders beginning chillingly in 1978. His first known victim was a 14-year-old boy named Stephen Holmes, who he encountered on New Year's Eve 1978. Holmes, like many of Nielsen's subsequent victims, was vulnerable. Just a new teenager looking for a place to stay the night after a New Year's celebration. Well, Nielsen offered him shelter, an offer that would end tragically for the young boy. After Holmes, the pattern of targeting vulnerable young men continued. Nielsen's victims often shared similar traits. They were typically homeless, estranged from their families, or living transient lifestyles, which made them much less likely to be missed quickly. This predatory tactic allowed Nielsen to carry out his crimes with horrifying regularity. Among the victims from this period were Kenneth Ockenden, a Canadian tourist whom Nielsen met in a pub. Then there's Martin Duffy, a homeless 16-year-old boy who sought refuge with Nielsen during a cold night. Each encounter would follow a similar, grim pattern. Nielsen would bring his victims back to his flat under the guise of hospitality. He would offer a meal, a drink, or just a warm place to sleep. Once there, the night would turn deadly. Nielsen employed strangulation, often a necktie or a cord, in some cases followed by drowning. Post-mortem, Nielsen engaged in a disturbing ritual with the bodies. He would bathe them, dress them, before eventually dismembering them and disposing of the remains. I tell you this, it's a deeply unsettling thing to ponder. The idea that a seemingly benign invitation can lead to such a deadly outcome. You see, Nielsen's home wasn't just a home, it was a trap. He exploited the basic human needs for warmth, for companionship, and twisted them into something monstrous. I mean, how many times have we relied on the kindness of strangers, or even offered it ourselves? Nielsen's story is a grotesque reminder of the darkest potential lurking behind our everyday encounters. And let's think about the names and lives that were cut short. They're not just headlines, they're human beings. People like Stephen, Kenneth, Martin. Lives who could have had so much promise and potential. It's a somber thought, but it's our duty to remember. Not just to remember the horror of how they died, but the vitality of how they lived. It's how we restore some dignity to their stories. The stories of those who are no longer here to tell them themselves. And now we reach a period between 1979 and 1981. And this is where his murderous impulses escalated both in frequency and depravity. After the initial murders, Nielsen moved from his flat in Cricklewood to another residence in North London, which allowed him greater privacy and more opportunity to carry out his horrific acts undisturbed. During this time, Nielsen's pattern of targeting vulnerable young men became even more entrenched, and he refined his methods of both luring and killing, creating almost a horrifyingly efficient system of murder. Victims during this period included Graham Allen, who Nielsen met after Allen had been trying to hail a cab, Malcolm Barlow, a man with learning disabilities, who Nielsen found slumped outside his flat. Both men, tragically, accepted his offer of help, only to meet a grim fate. And Nielsen's methods would remain consistent. He would strangle his victims with a ligature, often whilst they were unconscious from alcohol, and then he would drown them in his bathtub or a sink. Again, post-mortem, Nielsen would bathe and sometimes talk to the bodies, attempting to maintain a grotesque semblance of companionship before eventually dismembering them and disposing of them either under his floorboards, burning them in his back garden, or burying them in a shallow grave. It's really difficult to wrap your mind around the sheer coldness, the methodical detachment that Nielsen operated with. Moving to a new flat wasn't just a change of scenery, it was a tactical shift. It gave him the isolation he needed to avoid detection. Imagine the audacity of burning human remains in your own backyard. The smoke and the smell mingling with everyday suburban life. It's the kind of horror you'd expect in a bad film, not just a few doors down from your unsuspecting neighbours. And yet, amidst all this darkness, there's a particular aspect to Nielsen's interactions with his victims post-mortem. The bathing, the talking. It's as if, in a twisted way, he was trying to forge the connection in death that he couldn't do in life. It's exceptionally chilling, obviously. But it also opens up a window into the mind of a man who was profoundly disconnected from the reality of other human beings as living, breathing entities with rights and dignities of their own.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The chilling sequence of events that led to Dennis Nielsen's discovery and arrest began to unfold in early 1983. The end came not through meticulous detective work, but rather through a much more mundane scenario, a blocked drain. You see, residents of Nielsen's apartment building, located in Muswell Hill, North London, had been complaining about a foul smell and a clogged drain. This seemingly ordinary complaint would lead to some extraordinary revelations. A Dino Rod drain cleaning company was called to investigate, and what they found was horrifying. Human remains. Of course, the discovery was immediately reported to the police, who traced the blockage directly back to Nielsen's flat. They searched his home and found evidence of multiple murders. These included human remains and personal belongings of the deceased, which Nielsen had kept as morbid trophies. When confronted by the police, Nielsen was eerily calm and confessive. He admitted to the killings and even helped the police identify some of the remains. His arrest sent shockwaves through the community and the nation as the full extent of his crimes began to surface. It's almost ironic. A serial killer who manages to evade suspicion for years, undone by something as prosaic as plumbing. It's a stark reminder of how the mundane and the macabre can collide in the most unexpected ways. And when Nielsen started talking, he didn't just confess. Almost with pride, he gave a guided tour of his dark world. His calm demeanor during the confession was as if he was discussing something as normal as daily chores. It's bone-chilling. It makes you realise the double lives that people can lead. Nielsen was a civil servant by day, and a monstrous predator by night. A jolting juxtaposition that puts into perspective how little we can ever truly know about anyone. And for the residents of Muswell Hill, it was a horrifying realisation that they were living atop a secret graveyard. One that had been hidden by nothing more than a thin veneer of normalcy. After his arrest in 1983, Nielsen's case quickly proceeded to trial, capturing widespread public and media attention. The trial, held at the Old Bailey in London, began in October 1983. And of course, Nielsen faced multiple charges of murder and attempted murder. The prosecution presented a detailed case, supported by gruesome evidence recovered from Nielsen's flat, including forensic findings and personal items of the victims. Nielsen, representing himself with an eerie composure, pled not guilty to murder, but guilty to manslaughter on the grounds of diminished responsibility. His defence argue that Nielsen's mental state at the time of the killings impaired his ability to fully understand the nature of his actions. However, the jury was confronted with the stark and overwhelming evidence of premeditation and the sheer scale of his crimes. The trial itself lasted several weeks, during which the gruesome details of Nielsen's murders were laid bare. In November 1983, after much deliberation, the jury returned with a verdict. Nielsen was found guilty of 6 counts of murder and 2 counts of attempted murder, and he was sentenced to life imprisonment, with a recommendation that he serve at least a minimum of 25 years, a sentence that was later extended to a whole life tariff, ensuring Nielsen would never be released. Now, this trial wasn't just a legal proceeding. It was a window into human depravity. But it was also a test of our justice system's ability to handle cases that are as psychologically complex as they are morally horrifying. Nielsen's plea of diminished responsibility? Well, that's a tough pill to swallow. How do you even begin to assess the sanity of a man who's carried out such calculated and horrific acts? It's bone-chilling, isn't it? The thought someone could argue for less culpability because they may not have been fully aware of their actions, despite the detailed planning and execution shown. It opens up a whole can of worms about morality, mental health, and criminal responsibility. So where should we draw the line between understanding mental illness and ensuring public safety? Understanding the mind of a serial killer like Dennis Nielsen involves delving into complex psychological theories and analyses. After his conviction, forensic psychologists and criminal profilers studied Nielsen's case extensively to try and determine what might have driven him to commit such heinous acts. Nielsen himself was a subject of various psychological evaluations during and after his trial. Experts concluded that Nielsen exhibited signs of several psychological conditions. These would include narcissistic personality disorder and possible borderline personality disorder. These conditions are characterized by an inflated sense of self-importance, an intense fear of abandonment. Nielsen's interactions with his victims, his need to control them completely, and his almost ritualistic behaviours post-murder suggest a deep-seated need for dominance and a pathological fear of loneliness. His behaviour also points to a profound detachment from reality. Nielsen saw his victims not as human beings, but as objects he could manipulate. This objectification is a common trait found in many serial killers, and is often a coping mechanism to dissociate from the violence of their own actions. Nielsen's meticulous planning and execution of the murders, followed by his care for the bodies, indicates a complex interaction of both compulsion and control, mixed with a perverse form of caretaking. It boggles the mind, really. I mean, how can the human psyche twist and turn in that way? Nielsen's case forces us to confront uncomfortable questions about the nature of evil and mental illness. Is a person really born evil? Or is it the environment, the circumstances, or perhaps something so broken inside them it leads them down that dark path? And here's something that really gets you thinking. If Nielsen had been able to form genuine human connections, could the loneliness that fueled those gruesome acts have been mitigated? Now, this is the part where the lines get blurry. It challenges us to think about how we, as a society, address mental health, especially the darker, more complex aspects that are often shrouded in stigma rather than understanding. But how far should we go in trying to understand the minds of people like Nielsen without excusing their actions? The crimes of Nielsen had a profound and disturbing impact on British society, raising critical questions about social isolation, vulnerability, and the effectiveness of law enforcement in identifying serial offenders. Following his arrest and the media storm that obviously ensued, there was a heightened public awareness of the risks posed by individuals who prey on society's most marginalised members. The case also prompted law enforcement to review their methods for instigating and investigating missing persons reports, especially concerning those from less visible segments of the population, like the homeless, like the estranged from their families. The grim reality that Nielsen could continue his murderous spree for several years without any detection underscored the need for more proactive and inclusive policing strategy. In addition to these practical changes, Nielsen's case has been extensively referenced in popular culture, including TV, books, documentaries, often serving as a grim reminder of the human capacity for evil. His story's been used in academic and training contexts as well, helping law enforcement and forensic psychology professionals better understand and potentially prevent similar cases in the future. Looking back on this, it's incredible, and not in a good way, how one man's twisted reality could ripple out and affect so many layers of society. From that stranger we don't speak to next door, to how the police handle a missing persons report. Nielsen's legacy is a dark tapestry woven into the fabric of 20th century British crime history. But it really does make you think about the bigger implications. While no one wants to dwell on the macabre, there's an undeniable need to learn from these horrific chapters to ensure better protection and understanding for those who are the most vulnerable among us. As we close this dark chapter on Dennis Andrew Nielsen, we reflect on the many facets of this case and their aftermath. Nielsen's story is a stark reminder of the depths to which human behaviour can sink, and the importance of vigilance in a society. Dennis Nielsen died on May the 12th, 2018. He was still serving the life sentence imposed on him for the murders. His death was down to natural causes. Specifically, he succumbed to complications arising from an abdominal aortic aneurysm. At the time of his death, he was incarcerated at Full Sutton Maximum Security Prison in Yorkshire, where he'd spent the latter years of his sentence. His funeral arrangements were private and low-key, and given the nature of his crimes and the public disdain, obviously there are no public memorials or notable gatherings to mark his passing. Whether any family members attended remain largely undisclosed. And so the life of Dennis Nielsen came to an end, not with a bang, but with a whisper. And there's something profoundly sobering about the quiet end to such a tumultuous and destructive life. But there you have it. The life and legacy of one of Britain's most infamous killers. This has been a tough journey through some very dark places. But remember, the goal here isn't to horrify, isn't to sensationalise. It's to understand, to learn, and hopefully to prevent. Every story we tell, every fact we uncover, every connection we make. Hopefully, it's all part of a larger effort to ensure no one else slips through the net like Nielsen did. So today, as we wrap up this episode, let's not walk away with a sense of closure on this decades-old case. Let's take with us the knowledge and the awareness needed to make our communities safer and more connected. Let's be those neighbours who notice, the friends who care, the strangers who don't walk on by. Because in the end, any sliver of light that these stories may bring is just what might help keep the darkness at bay. As ever, thank you for joining me on your show, The Deadly Countdown. The audio from The Stars is covered under fair use, and a link to which can be found in the show notes. But for now, for Dennis Nielsen, let's stop the clock.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.